It's better over here.
After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
For the past 3 seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a 4th season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hello and welcome into Gwen and Chris. I'm Matt Scraby. Tony, off to LA for the Padres and Dodgers series this coming Tuesday. Yeah, tomorrow. Duh. Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. All games are at 7:10. Then you got the Diamondbacks over the weekend. Friday, Saturday, Sunday. So the Padres have 6 very important games happening this week. And we're going to talk about more of what's ahead here in the rest of the show. Tony's going to rejoin us in the 3:40 segment for the Big 5. We have a good, bad, and the ugly at 4 o'clock. We're not going to be doing any Chris versus the fans today because I'm here by myself. But pay extra attention to the end of the Big 5. And then the good, bad, ugly. And also, we're going to talk about Robert Suarez at the end of the show. We're going to talk about him multiple times throughout the show. So right now, we are going to go into our daily gambit. But I'm going to hold off on that in just a second because, for just a second, we don't really have many bets today, and I wanted to address a question on the chat. There was someone asking about the Padres and the chance that they aren't going to make the playoffs. Well, here's what I read this morning from Kevin Acey. It says, here's the scenario. The Padres can clinch a playoff spot with a win tomorrow night in Los Angeles. That's the only way they can clinch that day. If they lose, even a loss by the Braves to the Mets tomorrow would leave open the remote possibility of a 3-way tie between the 3 teams that would end with the Padres as the odd team out. Now, that's a little scary. Again, it's a remote possibility, but the Padres, as we've said before, they are they're carrying through their own destiny, or their control of their own destiny. So if they win, they can take care of this. If they continue, if they lose this week, it's going to get a little dicey. But I think there's so many things that have to go in a certain way for the Padres to miss out on the playoffs that it's unlikely that they're going to miss out on the playoffs. I feel like they're going to at least win one of these games from the Dodgers. I don't really want to get too confident about things, but there is a remote possibility, which does scare me a little bit. And again, I am not thinking that that's going to happen, but I want to make sure everyone knows the different scenarios out there for the Padres to to clinch the playoffs or to miss the playoffs. But they're not going to miss the playoffs. Everybody's in the same mindset about this. I think everybody knows that the Padres are a good enough team that they're going to take care of business. And that's going to happen tomorrow, starting tomorrow in L.A., 7:10 p.m. Now, Sammy Leff, our guy Sammy Leff, who helped me out on Friday, he's great. He actually got to do an interview with Luis Arraez after the game yesterday, and I wanted to share this with everyone because I think it's very important to hear, and it's also very important to know the mindset of what this team is looking at when they're at bat. So here's Sammy Leff after the game with Luis Arraez.
Luis, you come to the plate in the 8th inning, the tying run in scoring position. What are you thinking as you get ready to take that at bat?
I mean, I was ready. I just do my routine, and then I waited for my moment, and then I did it. I just tried to move the running, and then I got my double, and we won the game.
Another win here today, the 90th win of the season for this team. You finished the regular season home schedule with a W. As you guys get closer and closer to clinching a playoff spot, what is the mentality of this group?
Like you say, it's close. The mental in this group is amazing because we stay together, we play together. If I don't do the job, somebody behind me finish the job, you know. So that's why we play really good baseball right now.
Another sold-out crowd here at Petco Park. Today set a new single-season attendance record in this building. What message do you have for these fans as they hopefully get ready for the postseason?
I mean, I can't wait. I can't wait to watch this beautiful crowd when we play postseason here. I want to say thanks for the support and thanks for the support my teammates. And then we got a really good team. Thanks for the support.
Big series coming up in L.A. You ready?
I'm ready. I'm ready. Everybody's ready.
Luis, as always, thanks so much.
Thank you.
Sammy Love after the game with Luis Arraez yesterday. He came out, you know, he had a huge hit yesterday, obviously, to help the Padres win. But yesterday, when I was watching that game, thinking, okay, maybe the Padres lose this one, it's going to be fine. Everything's going to be okay. But what they did at the end of the game is why I think that they're going to be okay in the playoffs. They, you know, it's kind of hard sometimes to like force something in baseball when you absolutely need something to happen. It's kind of hard to just force a couple runs across. But yesterday in the eighth inning, the Padres, they were able to score three runs, and they were able to do it fundamentally, and they were able to do it relatively, not easy, I can't say easy, but they were able to do it the right way. And this is what this team is playing like right now. They're playing like playoff baseball, even though it was against the White Sox. I understand that some people might not understand that they should be. Some people may think that the Padres would need to score 10 runs against the White Sox. It just doesn't work that way. But I do think that this team is in the right mindset. And so, again, I don't, the and Adam said on the chat, our boss Adam, he said there needs to be the right combination of wins and losses by three teams for the Padres to miss out. Again, I don't think they're going to miss out, but I do need to present the possibility. Luis Arraez, though, his approach is impressive because it never changes. And it always, you know, there's, I think that Luis Arraez, as we've gone through the year, has won people over, and he should win people over with the things that he does. I mean, when the Padres have needed a hit lately, Luis Arraez has come up with that hit. And he did yesterday. Jerks and Profar, sack fly, Fernando Tatis Jr., home run. Everything was working for the Padres in the eighth inning yesterday. And that's a good sign for me, at least, to know that they can come back in the bottom of the eighth inning and beat a team. They've been doing it all year. And next segment, like I said, I'm going to tell you why we should not have baggage from the past, because there are some stats that I'm going to bring forth that will tell you why we should not have baggage from the past. But I do think that this Padres team, when Luis Arraez says they're ready, I fully believe him because they look ready. They look the part of a playoff team. And I think that's very important as well. There are certain teams where you see them and you're like, oh, maybe, you know, they're a playoff team because they made the playoffs, but they're not actually a playoff team. Right now, things are going really well for the Padres. And as Tony said in the beginning of the show, the Padres, everything has been going well since after that first game out of the All-Star break when they got shut out by the Guardians. After that, everything has come together, and they're working their way towards a big-time playoff run, I think, at least. I know maybe I'm getting ahead of myself just a little bit, but I don't think I am. I really don't think I am. I think a lot of other people are feeling the same way. And, yeah. All right. We'll get back into the Padres here shortly. We're going to have the Big Five at the end of the hour. But here is the Eliminator, the 97-3 The Fan Eliminator pool. Now, if you're in it, you know whether or not you survived or not. I have ordered the championship belt. It should be here in a little bit. It should be here this week. So I will show everyone. And we're really, really close to getting a winner in this thing. And it's only week three. The first 3 weeks of this Survivor season have been brutal. None of the teams that were supposed to win and were the favorites to win won. So in the first week, most people went out by choosing the Bengals to pick or to beat the Patriots. That did not happen. And a lot of people went out in that one. So let me go back to week one. Surviving, 109 survived in week one. 97 were eliminated in week one. In week two, we had the Chargers were the top vote getter in that one, but 51 survived week two, 58 eliminated in week two, and that would be because the Ravens lost to the Raiders. Most people lost because of that one. And then if you go to week three, There's only 17 Survivor players left. 17 Survivor players left in this whole thing. Out of 206, 34 were eliminated yesterday. And most of those people picked the Buccaneers to lose to the Broncos. 31.4% of the people picked that. Did not happen, as we know. Raiders and Panthers, most selected matchup, 21.6%. So right now, there are 17 people left. Pretty insane that that is coming down. We're going to be done by like week six. I swear we're going to be done by week six. I mean, how else can they... I don't see people battling it out until the end of time, till the end of the season. But that's, you know, I do like Eliminator, but I don't like Eliminator at the same time, mainly because I'm not in it anymore. Week one, I got eliminated. Chris and Tony got eliminated in week two. And so week three, it's not as fun because you can't go through the season. But then you may say as well, pick the right team and you won't have a problem. And that is true. Now, I have to address something also that I read on the chat in the break. And I know that the guys in the morning show talked a little bit about the fantasy matchup between Ben Higgins and I. And let me tell you, in this this fantasy football league for that the Padres PR team started, I'm going to be 0-3. It's just not going to... there's no way around it. I'm going to be 0-3. I have not had good luck in that league. And I lost the first week by 0.5. It was like 134.8 to 134.3. And it was because Puka Nacua got hurt and he didn't get me at least one more catch. But this week against Ben, I'm trying to get the exact score just so I have it. Stick to Sports, which I do like Ben's name. He has 99.26 points. I have 87.5. My team is done for the day or for the week. So I can't score any more than 87.5. Now, M. McKee on the chat told me that Ben wanted to sit his defense so that he didn't lose. Now, a 12-point lead is a lot when you have a defense left. Like, you cannot, I don't think you can get negative 12 points for a defense. That would be extremely hard to do. But I'm looking at it right now. Ben Higgins had the Cincinnati defense. They're playing tonight against the Commanders. Guess what? The Cincinnati defense is on his bench. And I think this is wrong. I think it's wrong, not because I think I'm going to win, but you have to play your teams. We said this last week with Chris talking about his wife Lori's team. She wanted to possibly sit Devontae Smith. She was up by a couple points. Maybe he fumbles or something like that, gets injured, goes out of the game. I think this is kind of lame. You got to play out your people. You can't just sit people because you're afraid they're going to get negative points. And you can't just sit a defense because you're afraid they're going to get negative points. They're not going to get negative points. And I guess in the long term or the long run, sitting a defense is going to hurt you because if they scored, you know, a bunch of points at the end of the year, you might need those points to break a tiebreaker. So I'm not sure why Ben Higgins is going to be sitting him. I'm just not sure, but it's there. It's already happened. He's already made the move. He's already put the Cincinnati defense on the bench, and I'm not really excited about that. Katrina says, Scraby not bitter enough to not know the exact point total. Well, that's true. I mean, I have four leagues now, and I think it's a little too much. I bit off more than I can chew, to be honest, with the fantasy football this year. I'm going to have to readjust next year because there are just so many things happening. I got a lot of injuries. I can't keep my team straight. So that's why I had to go and look at the score. Nate says, but isn't it a strategy to guarantee a W? It's like taking a knee. No, it's not like taking a knee whatsoever. Taking a knee means you've already won the game. If you play your defense, they're not going to get negative 12 points. They're not. And I shouldn't be this mad about it. And I'm not mad about it because I don't have any chance to win. But that's not like taking a knee at all. It's like giving up on the week before you even get to the end. That's what it is. So Ben Higgins sits his defense against me. Not happy about that. Not happy about it at all. All right, I'm Matt Scraby, Chris Ello on vacation. Tony Gwynn Jr. will rejoin me for the Big Five here in just a little bit. But when we get back, I'm going to tell you why this team is not last year's team. I know we've been talking about it a lot, but I have some numbers to back that up. So all of that, that's going to be next. We're also going to hear some quotes from Donovan Solano. So stick around. Gwynn and Chris will be back shortly, but here's your traffic.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
It's better over here.
AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free, all on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Payoff up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
Matt Scraby here for Gwen and Chris. Tony traveling up to Los Angeles for the Dodgers and the Padres series this week. First Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, then they go to Arizona Friday, Saturday, Sunday, and then the regular season is over. When Chris Ello is on vacation, he'll be back here in about a week or so. So I will be helping run the ship here until Chris gets back. But the next couple days, Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday, it's going to be Braden Soprenant and myself. He's going to be joining me throughout the week to talk, you know, just be on the show. So I'm looking forward to hanging out with Braden, and Tony's still going to be on the show too. But all of these starts this week in LA are going to be at 7:10. So we have a longer show than normal. 6:40 starts. We're going to be going to like 6:05 every single day. So lots of Gwen and Chris this week. I promise you that. Now, there's still lots of questions on the chat in regards to if the Padres can be eliminated. I can tell you I'm not making these things up. I am looking at smarter people and what they're saying on that I can trust and bringing it to all of you. So I don't necessarily want your calculations in my email inbox. I did see someone saying they wanted to email their calculations, but they could still, as we said last segment, miss the playoffs. But here's the more positive route. And this is from Kevin Acey. The Padres still control their own destiny as they won the season series against the Dodgers, so they can win the division by winning out, because doing so would include sweeping the Dodgers in their three-game series in L.A. starting tomorrow. The Padres could also win the division by going 5-1, but the Dodgers would have to be no better than 2-4 this week. And again, if you were thinking before the year that the Padres could actually win the division, I don't know that many of us were thinking about that. Many of us were trying to just keep our focus on the wild card because we just really wanted a playoff spot. But here we are in the last week of the season, and the Padres have played so well this season that they are right there with a chance to win the division. Everything could change for the Padres in the playoffs. The matchups would change. A lot would change if they were able to win the division. And the Dodgers, they've played good baseball as of late, but I could totally see the Dodgers going 2-4. Now, they finished their season against the Rockies in Colorado. So if the Rockies can play spoiler, that would be fantastic. But, you know, I'm not really counting on the Rockies. We can't count on the Rockies to play spoiler, but that could happen. I mean, they could win a couple games to finish out the year. Kudos to Bud Black for keeping his team together throughout this entire season, even though they've been bad at points. I mean, if the Rockies could beat the Padres like they've had done in the last few years, then why can't the Rockies beat the Dodgers? I think that's only fair to spread the wealth. And so I tease coming into this segment that this team is not last year's team. And again, I know we all have baggage from the past and we've talked about it recently, but I'm here to keep reminding myself and to any of you who have baggage out there about the Padres that this team is not last year's team. And here's a few reasons as to why this team is not like last year's team. So yesterday it was their 96th inning, scoring three or more runs, which is great. It gave them their 37th comeback victory, their 32nd victory secured in the seventh inning or later, and their 21st victory in which the deciding runs were scored in their final offensive inning. So through 156 games this year versus last year, 21 games or 21 times a win was earned with the run and final team at bat. So not a walk-off, but because they could be on the road as well. But 21 times this year. In 2023, only 8 times. So that's a lot more. This year, comeback victories through 156 games, they have 37 of those. Last year, they had 27, which is a lot more than I would have thought, to be honest. Because last year, all I remember is them losing leads, not coming back and winning games. This year, with a win when trailing or tied in the seventh or later, they have completed 32 wins when trailing or tied in the seventh inning or later. In 2023, it's only 18. And then three run innings this year, 96 innings, they've scored three or more runs. And last year, they scored 85. But that's not just, those are just raw numbers. Those are just numbers, team numbers. The thing that really makes me feel like this is a lot different than last year is how Jurickson Profar has played this year. Jurickson Profar was on the Rockies for most of last year. He came to the Padres at the end of the year, and he was pretty good for them. But, you know, I think when we came into the year, I know I said it a couple times on the Scraby Show leading into the season that I don't think Jurickson Profar is going to change the fortunes of this team, and I couldn't have been more wrong about this. He's a steal. He's only $1 million. I think he's made around $2.5 million this year with incentives, which is well deserved. But here's why I think this year is different, because Jurickson Profar, every time that we think that he is, and this is just one of the reasons, but every time that we think that Jurickson Profar is done being the Jurickson Profar we saw early in the year, it's actually, you know, a time for it's a time when Jurickson Profar can show that he is still that guy, because he went through some struggles here. From 22 games from August 11th to September 4th, he hit 165 and 98 plate appearances. Now, yesterday, he was able to put the Padres up 3-2 with a sac fly, and that was a team-leading 15th game-deciding RBI. And yesterday also was the sixth victory of the season in which Profar drove in at least half the Padres' runs, tied with Manny and Jackson Merrill for most on the team. But what is even more encouraging to me, we talked about those numbers in the 22-game stretch from August 11th to September 4th, but in the last, let's see here, in the last 15 games, he is hitting .345, four doubles, three home runs, and six walks. And yesterday he went 2-for-3. That is encouraging to me, because Jurickson Profar is continuing to be the Jurickson Profar that we saw earlier in the year. I don't have any doubt in Jurickson Profar, but I would be lying if I didn't say that at certain points recently in the last maybe, you know, 2 months, I would think that Jurickson Profar maybe, yeah, we've seen the best of the Jurickson Profar. You know, Jurickson Profar, I believe it's his 11th major league season. So it's not like and I'm not calling him old by any means. It's not like he's a spring chicken. I mean, he's been playing baseball for a long time. A lot of damage on that knee. We know that his knee does, you know, hurt from time to time. But all he's done this year is be great for the Padres, and all he continues to do this year is be great for the Padres. So that is one of the reasons that I really think Padres are a different team this year, along with the wins when trailing or tied in seventh inning or later, because I can't even tell you how many times last year the Padres would go down and I would be like, okay, well, that's it. There's no real hope for them to come back. But this year, I'm sticking it out, like on Friday night. On Friday night, the Padres up 2-0. Robert Suarez gives up that two-run home run to Sosa on the White Sox. And I'm sitting there thinking, they really had this one wrapped up. Robert Suarez gave it away. And now they're going to have to play some extra inning games. But the extra innings have been so good to the Padres this year that I really don't have any worries when they're at home in the extras. And they were able to get the White Sox off the bases without having the ghost runner score. And then Fernando comes up, walks it off. Still kind of strange to me that Fernando is it's his second walk-off of his career, and he's done both of them in the last month. And I saw someone on Twitter reply to me saying that they were there for both of them. So you know who you are. You should keep going back to those games because we want to see some more Fernando walk-offs. But those types of situations are what build you for the postseason in my mind. When you can make comebacks late in the game, no matter when it is, and as we talked about in the last segment, they made something happen yesterday. And that's not even to mention like the players that have been added to this team since the trade deadline and how many of those guys are helping out the team right now. And Donovan Solano said yesterday, or he said it to Bryce Miller in the San Diego Union-Tribune. They were asking him about the team and what he thinks of the team, what he thinks of the team heading into the playoffs. He said, quote, "We have everything. We have guys who can hit, starting pitching, bullpen guys. We're solid for the playoffs. We're confident. We're ready to compete. We're ready for any situation, no matter what the score is. We think we can do it, and we are doing it." And that's exactly hammering home my point. When they need to score, they have belief in themselves, and they get it done. And that is why there's no baggage, at least in my mind, heading into the postseason or heading into this final week. I know I'm going to keep knocking on wood because I know that there is still an opportunity that they miss the postseason. I know I just got done telling everyone I don't think they're going to miss the postseason, but at the same time, that possibility is there. All they have to do is win tomorrow night. All they have to do, win tomorrow night, and they're in the postseason. If they are able to go 5-1 this week and the Dodgers go 2-4, they win the division. And that means that they've been playing great baseball if they're up for the division here at the end of the year. It's just not something that we were talking about before the season. And maybe we should have. But the Dodgers on paper look good. I mean, the Padres have 90 wins right now. Dodgers have 93 wins. If you look around baseball, the Phillies have 92 wins, the Yankees have 92 wins, and again, the Dodgers have 93. They have the most wins in baseball. The Padres have 90 wins. They're 3 wins off the most wins in baseball. So that should show you everything you need to know about how great this team has played this year, or at least in the second half since the All-Star break, because I know that the first half was filled with some, you know, stress and things of that nature. But we got through it. We got through the All-Star break, and the Padres are looking at, I don't know, let's see, they have 6 games left. They go 5-1. They're 95 wins. I think that's a lot more wins than people were thinking they could accomplish this season. And I know for a fact, I said that they were going to have like 93 or 94 wins, and Chris laughed at me. So when they finish with 93 or 94 wins, I will be bringing that up to Chris. I will be, because it's not nice to laugh at someone when they're actually, in the end, right. That's my soapbox of the day. All right. This is Gwynn and Chris. I'm Matt Scraby. Tony is going to be back here shortly in the next segment for the Big Five, and Chris L is on vacation. He will be back next week. And in the Big Five, we're going to talk about the Cincinnati Reds firing David Bell. We're going to talk about the attendance at Petco Park this season. We're also going to talk about what Antonio Pierce said about his Raiders yesterday. So the Big Five up next here on 97.3 The Fan.
It's that time of the show when we check on the latest in sports. Only the most important topics and questions are brought to light.
Stop what you're doing and listen.
These news stories will astound and amaze you. The one, the only.
Oh my God, who the hell cares?
The Big Five starts 97.3 The Fan.
So much happened over the weekend. We've talked about a lot of it already, but we're going to get into some of the other stories here. But first, if you love Mediterranean food, try Spiro's for authentic Mediterranean cuisine in Coronado or La Jolla. For dining or takeout options, visit SpirosCuisine.com. I walked by the Spiro's in Petco on Friday night, And there was a line down the entire corridor, Tony. So you got to go early to Spiro's.
Yeah,
if you
mess
want
around and be hungry in a long line. It's not really what you want.
It's not what you want at all. But there you go, spiroscuisine.com. All right, let's get into
number
it.
Number five.
And Padres fans set a record this season for attendance at Petco Park with 3,314,593 fans seeing the Padres win a whole lot of games this season. So, Tony, you're going to have an interesting perspective as a former player. How much do you really think fans play a part in a long season?
I think they play a big part. I think, you know, especially when your team is competitive, They can create what is, you know, I think tough to do in baseball, create a real home field advantage. And I think the Padres fans are on the cusp of doing that. There are very few that are truly, truly, you know, tough places to go play. And I just think that's done by the type of energy, the type of engagement that you have throughout the game. And, you know, I think the playoffs is really where you make a fan base can make the name for themselves. So, you know, given if the Padres magic number of one, if they get a victory tomorrow, everybody will have their shot to try to. I just know from 2022, a lot of people who came to San Diego who weren't from San Diego talk about the atmosphere in the playoffs that year. So, kind of built a reputation in terms of that. They're going to have to match it.
Yeah, a Friday night.
If not, outdo it.
Yes, I think they will outdo it because that was the first taste in 2022. But Friday night, there was over 45,000 people there to see a game between the Padres and
the White Sox.
White Sox.
Crazy.
I don't know how much of that was like, I get to see history here. Because I
don't think any of it was history.
No?
Because you go back to Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, it was the same thing with the Astros in town. So,
yeah.
I mean, if you would have flip-flopped that, I think it still would have been. If the White Sox would have came Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and the Astros, I think you would have got the same exact results. And that's in due to how well the Padres are playing as well.
Yes, I asked for tickets on Friday, and when I sent the email, I said, they're not in that high demand, so I think there should be some available.
Yeah,
and they
right.
sent back, like, dude, these are some of the hottest tickets right now in San Diego.
Without question.
Yeah.
Number four.
The Cincinnati Reds fired manager David Bell on Sunday with five games to go in a disappointing season that began with the Reds as playoff contenders and will end with them missing the postseason for the 10th consecutive full season. But Bell received a three-year contract extension in July 2023 after the Reds surged into contention following the 100-loss season they had in 2022. Now, injury and underperformance is why he was let go, because things just did not go well. It's his fifth season as the manager of the Reds. He had a record of 409 wins and 456 losses. I guess I'm up first. Do you think he deserved to be fired? I can't see him getting a lot of help from the Cincinnati Reds organization, but after five seasons and you have a below 500 record, I don't know that he necessarily deserved to be fired, but I understand the firing, and I think that they probably wanted a new voice in there. And my friend in Cincinnati, I texted him immediately. He said he's very happy about this. My other friend in Cincinnati said he's not happy about this because he liked David Bell. He thought David Bell did some good things while manager of the Reds. So, Tony, what do you think? Do you think he deserved to be fired?
No, I don't. I think that team is about where they should be right now. About, what, just below 500, right at 500.
Yep.
They're not far off of it.
Yeah, they're right there.
They're teetering. I don't know that they have the starting pitching to be better than where they are. They got a lot of young guys. You know, Ellie De La Cruz is doing his thing. I think you had some other guys who were injured a little bit this year. So, I don't know. In that division, I mean, maybe you can make the argument. And listen, they were in it for a little bit there the first half before they kind of, you know, fell behind a little bit. So, I don't know. I think this one could have gone either way. You know, I think I wouldn't have batted an eye if they would have retained him for another year. But given the way sports is in general now, I can't say that I'm surprised that David's gone now. It's kind of weird though with six games. I'm just saying, like, and they said that they used this lame excuse about being able to interview candidates in the Knicks. Like, you could do that literally after the season's
you
over.
Have 1 week of like, the season left.
It just doesn't make a ton of sense.
And they also have to pay him out for the contract extension that they gave him just last year. So it doesn't make a lot of sense for the Reds to do what they did, but they did.
Yeah,
and we'll see what happens in Cincinnati for those Reds fans. We're going to talk about Reds fans here again at number one.
Number three.
Now, NFL yesterday, one of the most shocking results, I think, was the Panthers beating the Raiders, and the Raiders were at home. And Raiders head coach Antonio Pierce did not hold back his thoughts when talking to the media after their 36-22 drubbing to the Panthers. Here he is talking about it after the game. He was asked, you know, kind of for a little bit of a review of the performance of his team.
No, they didn't. I think as the game went on, I don't think it was a team. I think there was definitely some individuals that made business decisions. And we'll make business decisions going forward as well.
Great line right there by Antonio Pierce. If that doesn't get your team's attention, I don't know what will get their attention. They beat the Ravens on the road last week, so it's surprising. But, Tony, what would you do with a player that made a business decision?
I would like to believe I would do just what Antonio Pierce did. Put said player or players on notice. Like, all right, you know, because the film, football is funny, like, because, you know, they have those film sessions and those things.
Eye in the sky don't lie.
Those things stand out like a sore thumb. You know what I'm saying? So I would have done what Antonio Pierce said. I don't think there's a lot of coaches that have taken this approach before. I can't think of very many. I like this. I like this a lot because, you know, part of the reason why he earned that job is because he was changing the culture around Raiders football. And I like that the moment it looks like something's starting to seep in a little bit, he's on top of it. And so I think this does two things. It puts the players on notice, but it also, the ones who are doing the things right, they're now putting on notice, right? Like, all right, well, I know I gotta keep doing the things that I'm doing, keep doing the right things on the football field. I like this though from Pierce.
Yeah, I do too. What would I do? Well, fans number one went through some of the video.
Yeah, I love the millions. I would say probably thousands of new football coaches out
experts,
there on
yes.
Twitter.
Yes.
It is
John
amazing.
Madden is all
it
over
is
the
amazing.
Place. But they went through the film because you can get every single angle basically that teams have now. And there's a couple plays that people have highlighted. And you can see there was a run towards a corner, corner. And he kind of like ducked out of the way real quick and then jumped on the pile after the guy was tackled. I think that was probably something that Antonio Pierce was talking about. But you're right. I mean, this is their warning. And if they do it again, then they're probably going to get let go from the team. And they should probably pay attention to Antonio Pierce because he seems pretty serious.
Number two.
Now, with the White Sox tying the record for most losses in a season yesterday, former major leaguer Mike Cameron had a thought about how to make teams more competitive.
I saw this.
He tweeted, "I think if you lose a 99 to 110 games in Major League Baseball, you should have no less than a payroll of $100 million the next year. Then you can't go under that for the next 4 years." I'm up first. What do you think? I think this is great. I think this is hilarious. I think it's a good idea. I don't think it will ever happen, though, because how are these teams going to pay for the $100 million plus payroll over the next 4 years? But
that's
it is
his
an
point.
Interesting
his,
thought.
His point is that he thinks they can pay it.
They probably can.
They're just deciding to make the money in this case. Now, I don't know what the unintended consequences of a move like this would be in terms of, like, what happens if you, like, they do it the 1 year and then you're forcing them to stay. I don't know what the unintended consequences are, but I like the idea.
It forces teams to, like, be competitive.
I like the idea, right? So that would mean your bottom, so he said 99 to 100. So mind you, first of all, losing 100 games in a season is tough to do. We're only going to have, what, two this year? The Rockies, and Rockies are, what, six away, I think?
I'm going to get the exact standings here right now. The Rockies are 60-96, so they have
four away. So they got to go two and four over the last six to hit the spot, right?
If I'm looking, at the standings now. If he's saying between 99 and 110 losses, the White Sox qualify, the Marlins qualify, and the Rockies probably qualify.
So that's mind you, that's not everybody. That's
no.
That's like it's probably going to be one to three teams every year. Something I'm sure there will be some years where you get four, but. The point is, if you're losing that many games, like you got some serious issues to address at this point.
You do,
And the forcing him to spend $100 million. Now, maybe we can come up with a better number than $100 million because it seems like that might be a little bit much. But I like the premise of the idea. I really do.
Something. If you finish below the A's, you should be relegated.
Just think how fun this last week of baseball is going to be with the Padres. The Diamondbacks, the Mets, the Braves on one side. And the American League side, you got Baltimore, the Twins, the Royals, the Detroit Tigers. That's eight teams competing for, you know, six spots.
Even the Mariners are two games
are 2 games back, right? So you could maybe possibly add another couple teams that are doing that are in the same spot next year. That's make this whole thing a lot of fun down the stretch.
Yeah, I think I like this season. There's no truly like dominant team, and the Yankees won 92 games. The Dodgers have won 93. The Phillies, but everybody's like bunched up right there. Seems pretty even. So, all right. I like Mike Cameron's idea. I also like relegation. I just don't know. Bring up the Louisiana baby cakes.
You can't. They don't have the facilities. It's too difficult.
That would be fun. Isn't that the one, the baby cakes that looks like mud?
Yeah. Yes.
Number one.
I came across this post on X, and here's how it went. Quote, I've officially attended every single Reds home game in 2024, this fan said. Now, the Reds have been eliminated since last week and have been pretty mediocre all year long, as we talked earlier in the Big Five. But people are calling on the Reds to give this person season tickets next year as a show of good faith to a fan who stuck by his team all season long. Tony, do you think the Reds should give him season tickets?
No, I don't. Why?
Because he went to every home game.
Great. They didn't tell him he had to come? No, you shouldn't. You know what I mean? I'm sure there are other people who've gone to every home game aren't getting season tickets, man. Like, you want to...
Did they post on X?
You want a prize for going to watch...
This person's not saying this. People are trying to get
this
person.
Yeah, I know. That's the other thing. Why do we do that? Like, the people who are involved ain't even, like, dripping about this. Just randos are like, we should give them free tickets. I don't understand it.
Originally, I was like, yeah, you should give them free tickets. But you're right. I mean, maybe this person already has season tickets because they went to every home game.
How else are they going? Do you think they're just showing? I mean, they probably could.
One, please. Every single game.
Like, what are we doing?
I think it's pretty impressive that this fan went to every home game.
Definitely.
That's
a true fan.
That is a true fan. It's like if a White Sox fan went to every single game.
And he's being teased. Like he gets some like good baseball for like a week, and then like
terrible baseball
for a week and a half. Yeah,
and he gets to see guys like Ellie De La Cruz and Hunter Green and things like that. So
100%.
It's not the worst thing in the world. But 513 Caleb on X has a picture up if you want to see where they were sitting the entire season. So. Today's a little bit different. We're not going to be able to do any of the games that we'd usually do at 4 p.m. So right now, if you give us a call, you will be qualified for a chance to win our grand prize, a two-night stay at Wynn or Encore Las Vegas, and two tickets to see Awakening. Awakening, the thrilling spectacle at Wynn Las Vegas, dazzles audiences with soaring aerialists, bounding acrobats, high-energy choreography, and comedic moments. At the heart of this compelling story, a hero must confront the forces of light and darkness in a quest to save the world, Tony. I know you're interested. Ooh. A mythic adventure unfolds set in the most technologically immersive theater ever designed. Tickets are on sale now at awakening.com. When we get back, the good, the bad, and the ugly of week 3 in the NFL. Give us a call, 833-288-0973.
It's better over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
For the past 3 seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a 4th season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week, with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.